Well, welcome back to Community Connections on Yarra Valley FM 99.1, the voice of the valley, where the time is 10 past one. And we're in for the second hour. And this time we have Cindy McLeish, our local MP, deputy leader of the opposition, and a number of portfolios too. Welcome, Cindy.
Thank you very much, Alan. Good afternoon, everybody.
It's good to have you. Good to have you on air, Cindy. Now we're coming into the easing of the restrictions. Has this made it easier for you, or for you personally, and workload, or more?
Well, that's an interesting question, because we're still really busy, and there are still people a little bit concerned about some of the restrictions, about what they actually mean, because you've really got to start when you dig into the specific example of individual cases, that and sometimes it's a little bit grey, and people are like, well, it sounds like it, but does this mean we can do this, or does this mean we can do that? And, you know, we've got to clarify for people, you know, what it does and doesn't mean in certain instances. You know, sometimes when they say the number of people at a wedding or a funeral, everyone comes back and says, well, does that include me as the person conducting it? Or if I'm taking yoga, does that mean that I get included in the number of people in the room, and these sorts of things. So we're doing a lot of chasing around still.
Cindy, I'll just throw one at you.
Sure.
With the easing restrictions, I believe that they're going to start, well, I read where the camping areas are now going to open up, but then you can't use the facilities. So, I mean, I'm not sure how can you go camping in at a caravan park with your van or not, and not be allowed to use the facilities?
That's a very good issue point, and a lot of people have raised that. Now, when we think about caravan parks, they're not all the same, because some caravan parks have no shared ablutions block, no shared toilets and showers, that people have their own individual ones. So, you know, that can happen quite easily. But then others are saying, well, I can't go if, you know, we can't use these facilities. Same things happen with playgrounds. You know, like at schools at the minute, all the playgrounds are still out of action, not allowed to use them. But now you're allowed to go back on them in the public places. So sometimes as these things have come off, you know, there hasn't been all the cross-referencing to make sure that it all makes complete sense. So they get worked on. Those sorts of issues get worked on.
Yeah, and I guess the problem is with us all is that it's such an expense if you get caught doing the wrong thing. I mean, we're talking $1,600, and nobody wants to get that sort of fine, do they?
Oh, nobody at all. That's a high cost.
Yeah, Cindy, and of course, particularly in your area with such a vast area that you've got, and we're talking about places, you know, like Mansfield and all that. I mean, you really want the people to come back, don't you?
Look, absolutely. Tourism in my whole electorate, actually, and in a lot of regional Victoria, you know, is such an important part of the local economy. So you do need to get people back. But equally, people are still very concerned, because these have been areas typically where there have been very, very few cases of coronavirus reported. So people are like, well, you know, if we get this huge influx, are we also going to get a huge influx of, you know, people that are diagnosed? And I think we need to look at Easter, because this was a big concern for a lot of communities at Easter, because people found that, you know, if you had a holiday home or an annual place where you'd usually go, people went to those places, and the townsfolk were very concerned that they were going to get, you know, a real outbreak. That didn't happen. So I think as long as people continue to manage the restriction, the hygiene, and also the distancing. So if you're managing those things carefully, you know, it still does really reduce the risk of community transmission.
And I mean, the distancing, I mean, you see it on TV where a lot don't, but we really, some of those things just need, and they're going to go on for months, aren't they?
Oh, look, they certainly will. You know, there's been a lot of talk, you know, about kids in the schoolyard and the little kids, because, you know, they're seen to be at extremely low risk. And they're saying, oh, how do you have distancing? Well, there hasn't been the distancing in childcare centres. That hasn't been the advice of the Australian Health Protection Principal Committee. They haven't said you've got to keep little kids distance, because you know that's really, really difficult. So, you know, they've really focused on better hygiene and teaching kids, you know, more about washing your hands and longer hand washing and blowing your nose and getting rid of tissues and sneezing and stuff like that. Because, you know, the younger kids, you can't do that distancing. And it's shown that, you know, there's not that transmission between kids as well. So there's less of a reason to be concerned in those instances.
Having observed some, particularly guys, over the years, I think it's really high time that some of them did start washing their hands and in a lot more instances. And it amazes me that they've got to be told to do it.
Look, I'm equally amazed. And I'm, you know, I'm out and about on the road a lot, so I've always got my hand sanitizer in the car. You never know if you get caught short, you need to use some public facilities.
Yep.
You know, if there's taps don't work or there's no soap or whatever, that I've always got my hand sanitizer, because, you know, it's something that I think we do need to be very conscious of. And I don't get sick very often at all, so I'm, you know, pretty good at that.
Oh, that's good. Look, I don't want to go into this, or I don't want to delve down into too far, but, I mean, some guys, I've got to say, are atrocious when you go into the men's room and you see the way they go and they just walk out and you think, oh, I've got to open that door. And this is long before this happened.
That's exactly right. And with a bit of luck, that could have, you know, made an impact on that sector of the community to take a little bit more seriously. And I've got to say that even though I'm really good at washing my hands, I perhaps wasn't so great at washing the back of my hands. And so I'm much more focused now on doing a good job. And this is what, you know, at primary schools and at childcare, if they start to really entrench these behaviours, that'll be better for, you know, them as growing up as adults as well.
And I read the other day where it may even impact on they're saying that the next 2 or 3 years the flu mightn't be quite so bad, because people will hopefully keep up with this hygiene, and it could very well have that sort of wash off as well.
Absolutely, yeah, that'll play out, because you know, we're coming into flu season now. There's been a record number of flu vaccinations given out this year, and people were at it early. They were added a lot earlier than the flu shots had actually been delivered to the GPs or to the pharmacies. But, you know, now that they're out there and everyone has been getting them, so we've got that and we've got better hygiene, so maybe we'll have a lower flu rate this year.
I hope so too. Cindy, obviously your office isn't open at the moment, but obviously the people can still contact your office to find out about as these restrictions do come off, there are obviously going to be a lot more questions too.
Absolutely. And, you know, it's the anomalies that get raised. Some of the things that have been raised with me at the moment is about some of the restrictions on, you know, that when pubs and clubs can open with so many people, but a wine cellar door, they can't do the wine tastings. And they're like, well, hang on a minute. And in a lot of country Victoria, and it doesn't matter if you're, you know, in the Yarra Valley or up around Mansfield or Bright or over in the Western District or even in Central Victoria, you know, there's lots of vineyards there and lots of people that really want that return to tourism, and they want to be able to have a tasting plate at the same time as that they're offering their wine tastings. And I think that's something that's looking to be sorted out, hopefully, at the moment.
Oh, that's good. Cindy, also, it's obviously your own workload. I mean, in some ways, you're probably home more often than what you've been because you can't get around. But has it added to your own workload?
Oh, enormously, enormously. And I think most members of Parliament would say the same thing. You know, just because our doors are locked doesn't mean our email, our Facebook and our phones. And for me also, you know, being Shadow Minister for education. There was a lot of things happening in that space. So even though I was home for dinner, I was still doing a lot of work at home at night as well. And I imagine that that was the same for just about everyone. I had more meals at home, in a row than I've had for goodness knows how long, which has kind of been nice.
That's probably good for you. But also, I mean, we will get back to it's going to be interesting. And as the Shadow Minister on Education, it's going to be interesting to see whether we have the concert at the end of the year and whether we have the presentation night. I mean, we still don't know, do we?
No, and in fact, at schools, one of the first things that they, before schools closed down, one of the first things they did was reduce, they stopped having the assemblies. So, you couldn't have, I think it was 500 people initially. So for a lot of schools, that was okay to still have an assembly. But then, as schools go back, they won't be having those mass gatherings with everybody in the one room for assembly. So it'll be interesting to see how things go by the end of the year because, it's changing really quickly at the minute. We've done a great job, everybody, in helping flatten the curve, and that's a term that everyone knows of now. And where we'll be at, they're talking about the return of football, they're talking about even having people at the grand final, interstate travel and all of that. So, maybe by the end of the year, things will be relaxed a lot further.
Going to be interesting. Cindy, we've just got to take a quick break and we'll be back with more on Community Connections with Cindy McLeish.
Saturday, you never
Welcome back to Community Connections on Yarra Valley FM 99.1, the voice of the valley, where it's 26 minutes past one. And we have with us our local MP and Deputy Leader of the Opposition and responsible for a number of portfolios, of Cindy McLeish. Cindy, you were saying that you were going to tell us a little bit about what is allowed on some of the, now that some of the restrictions are being lifted.
That's right. Most people will be fairly aware of the main things that the restrictions have listed on, like, you know, fishing and golf, hiking. Not all national parks have reopened, so you just need to check details in various places. You know, with the fishing was the boating, so down on the coast or on lakes, prospecting and things like diving and surfing, which aren't really so relevant in my area. But what's also, you know, now that people could get out to do some of those things, they weren't really saying to people, you have to stay, you know, within a few kilometres of your home, that people did start to get out and about. And we saw people out and about in the Upper Yarra on the weekend. I'm sure you would have seen, Alan, the footage.
I certainly did. It was just terrible.
And the Redwood Forest, it's a real little jewel there, and it was undiscovered for such a long time, but in the last few years, it's become absolutely discovered, and we saw the traffic not just in the car park area itself, but along the Warburton Highway for, you know, kilometres, at how far that it was banked back. And this wasn't banked back, actually, it was parked. So people parked and then they've got to get out and they've got to walk and they've got to walk down Cement Creek Road. And there's been a lot of improvements there in the last year or so. Which has been terrific. You know, it was a real problem, and the council and myself and a lot of the local residents were going spare, really, about the poor parking. And so they've, you know, they increased the parking at the facility huge time, actually, and sealed it, made it actually really quite good, sealed the road going in to a bridge. But there's a very narrow bridge as you enter into the park there. So although it's better, the number of people that came out was just astonishing. Astonishing, actually. Shops would have been busy.
I mean, that was terrific, but it's also not social distancing either, is it?
Well, I didn't see what the people were doing, how close they were to each other. I didn't see footage of that to know that whether people were or weren't, because it's not, the forest isn't that big. You know, it's a little square area. It's whilst the trees are quite daunting and everything like that, it's you know, it's only a smallish area. So
and there were just too many cars there for it.
Yeah, the other thing that, you know, has been talked about a lot is whether there should be toilets there or not. And the closest toilets are at East Warburton at the hall there, and they do advertise to say that that's where the closest toilets are. But apparently the stories were that, you know, there was lots of roadsides and everything being used instead, and so maybe that is something that they'll definitely have to put there. But I think, you know, they were probably quite keen to try and keep it fairly natural without having, you know, the toilets there. But I think, yeah, it might be to the popularity now is to that point.
And I guess you don't, well, at the moment, you don't want the sort of numbers that we saw on the footage of the weekend either, do you?
No, and look, people are also concerned about the damage it might do to the trees and the tree roots, particularly because, you know, you've got people walking on the ground, and you know these really big trees, how the tree roots sort of are close to the surface.
Absolutely.
You know, and the more that they're trampled, whether or not that will do damage.
I guess one of the problems are when you bring too many people out in the one instant, it becomes a real problem, doesn't it?
And that's anywhere, isn't it? You know, you get a flood of people at the one time compared to a steady number. And I don't know how easy it is to try and restrict something like that. You know, like for a while they had the gates up at Donabuang closed to stop people getting up there. And, you know, you've got a thing across the road to actually prevent people going in. But, you know, this is a place where people go in and go out. You know, you're there for maybe an hour at a time. So, you know, there still needs to be some serious work into that to see how it could be best worked for the environment itself, for the people who live close by, you know, because if you live near there and there's a few houses, I'll tell you what, that must be driving them near batty.
Absolutely. And, of course, the other thing too, that we've very soon got the and of course, we've got the school holidays coming up shortly and then the long weekend as well.
Well, that's right. We've got the long weekend and the day after long weekend, the rest of the kids will be going back to the school. So it'll be interesting, actually, in the long weekend because the restrictions will be further relaxed as of the 1st of June. You know, we'll see a little bit more opening with the cafes and that in the area. So it'll be a bit more than takeaway. People will be able to sit down.
And I guess from your point of view as being a local member, you want to see people up spending money in Mansfield and Yay and Yarra Glen and those sorts of places too, don't you?
Absolutely. And the shopkeepers really do need to do that. It becomes difficult, though, you know, when the weather's fairly, if it's dodgy, you know, and you've got to get takeaway coffees and bun and sit on a park bench or somewhere or step back in your car to eat it, you know, you lose that little bit of the feel about being out, but that'll come. Yep. And look, with the cafes and restaurants, the gradual opening, you know, they'll be able to have 20 people in an enclosed space. Now, you could also have 20 people in an outdoor space if it's quite separate. So a venue might be able to have 40 people.
Oh, right.
And some venues that are quite large may be able to have 60 or 80, depending on, you know, if they've got very, very clearly separated spaces. Plus, you can still do the 4 square metres per person. You know, you've got a tiny place. You can't jam 20 people in and have them on top of each other. You've still got to be able to have that space considered. So, but yeah, there are a few more options that everyone's realising because some places do have, you know, clearly defined rooms that you could shut off and, you know, you might be able to have the, and I think of the RACV Club, in fact, quite easily. You know, they've got several very separate rooms that you could open up and have dining in several of those. So, you know, there's different ways, different size venues will be able to do that.
And I guess this is a part of what a business will be looking at too. I mean, the other thing is too that just because you can have 20 people in, as you just said, doesn't mean you can have 20 people in if it's just a small cafe in the main street, is it?
That's right. You know, the capacity may only be 6 people or 4 people. And, you know, you have a look at the shops at the moment. You know, they'll have signs up, only 2 people or only 4 people in the shop, depending on the size of the shop. So businesses have been really they've done a good job actually having to work out how it can work for them given it's exceptionally busy, exceptionally tough for them, exceptionally.
Yeah. And on top of that, of course, that when you're only getting 2 people in the shop at a time, it also has to be worthwhile financially for them too, doesn't it?
That's exactly right. And the business owners are the people who are best positioned to decide that.
Oh, absolutely. Cindy, so coming up, there's the restrictions are being relaxed at the moment. You were talking about the next wave of restrictions being lifted.
Yeah, so when we've got the 1st of June with the cafes and restaurants, you know, that gradually reopening with 20 people in those spaces, then a couple of weeks later from the 22nd of June, I'll be looking to have 50 people that are in closed space. But this is still reliant on the curve being where it is. You know, if we have some major outbreak, they'll quickly start to pull that back a little bit. And it may be that they'll pull that back in certain areas as well. And the intent is by the middle of July that, you know, you could have 100 people. So that's still 6 weeks away.
And there's still, as you say, like that is very dependent on the curve as well. But I mean, and it's also a bit dependent on people behaving themselves too, doesn't it? I.e., following the restrictions that are. I mean, if not, if we all of a sudden get a big outbreak because we're not doing as we should be doing, then we're in trouble again.
Yeah, and I think we've got to be mindful of what people think is reasonable and what they don't think is reasonable, because you see footage overseas of people who are absolutely jack of the restrictions and just saying, you know, protesting about them and things like that. Now, we're not at that stage, and that's, we have to be mindful about what people think is and isn't reasonable as we have the restrictions and come out of them.
Well, I mean, I don't want to get into too deep, but I mean, the Mother's Day was a bit of an example when you look at some of the footage that was around a whole lot of the various plazas and all that, wasn't it? There was too many people out and with very little social distancing, and that was almost, for me, people saying, I've had enough and I'm just going to go out, wasn't it?
It was a bit. I mean, people couldn't visit their parents for Mother's Day, but they were allowed to go to Bunnings, for example, and being brought up. You know, there were some people who were saying to their parents and their mothers, I'll meet you at Bunnings. Ask each other at Bunnings and say g'day.
You know? Well, there was also talk that might have happened at some of the shopping centres too, that they just said, well, I'll meet you there.
I'm sure. But look, it happens inadvertently too, because I was down in the supermarket in Yarra Glen the other day, just by my office maybe a couple of weeks ago, and bumped into somebody I knew, bumped into somebody else I knew, bumped into somebody else I knew, and you know, you could see people kind of bumping into each other and stopping to talk, but they were still fairly distant. But, you know, I think for some people it's like, oh, my gosh, we've come out of the house and we're actually talking to people that we know, and they were quite excited. You could tell by the mood.
Yeah. And I mean, we had somebody on from Eastern Health a couple of weeks ago. I was interviewing in this show, and they were talking about mental health, that, you know, we've got to be very mindful of people and they say we're all this together, and we are, but not everybody's coping as well as others. I mean, some people are just saying, oh, well, I've got to do it, that's what I've got to do. But others are finding it a real battle. And I heard of a case for somebody who they don't do a lot. They're happy to stay at home, but as soon as they were told they had to stay home, it became a very big issue to them.
Yeah, and I guess sometimes we don't always know how we're going to react to certain things. You know, because some people were genuinely very fearful of leaving the home and others less so. And some people, you know, happy in their own company. Others that, you know, they've changed, it's a real change of circumstances, particularly some of the elderly. And, you know, we saw a lot of great community organisations ringing around. The councils typically did a good job ringing around people as well. They were ringing a lot of the older people, making sure they had enough food and supplies, and they had somebody who was going to be able to do their shopping for them when they had to, you know, when it was said, if you were, I think, over 70, that you had to stay home, you know, that for some people that meant greater isolation.
Mm. And we don't like to be told we can't do something either.
But I think at the same time, you know, we've got to think what's reasonable and what's not, because Australia's come out of this very well.
I'd agree with that. Sydney, we've just got to take a quick break and we'll be back with more on Community Connection.
Oh, honey, I don't need your $5 tears. I just need the silence to freeze. Everything shuts, even the weeds. Now I can hear the wind just disappear. And I see the way you hold your knife, close and tight, ready to bite. And I see the way you hold your life, close and tight, for the whole price. Celebrate, we don't need your dirt, we don't need your money, and we ain't here to curse, conquer, whisper. Honey, I don't need your $5 fees. So you better wrap yourself in years. 'Cause time's quick how cocks of Las Vegas. I don't need to do anything. And I see the way you hold your knife, close and tight, ready to bite. And I see the way you hold your life, close and tight, full of pride. Cyber, we don't need you there. We don't need your money, and we ain't here to curse. Conquer, whisperer, we can't hear the heart of you. Or what's the damn hurt? Cyber,
Welcome back to Community Connections. I'm Alan Collier, and I've got with me Cindy McLeish. And Cindy's telling us a bit about what's going on. She's been talking about the restrictions and as they come off that we still need to do what we need to do. But also, just to change of pace, Cindy, you were telling us about a truck that's a two-ended truck. Tell us a bit about that, please.
Made in Wurrialik. And I stumbled on it the other day. I was down at the Wurrialik Football Netball Club, because they'd been given a big health grant. And I went down there and there was this demonstration of a brand new truck that drives from both ends. So you can imagine your regular truck, and it's made roads, sealed roads. So you've got your regular truck that drives from the front. You've got your big load in the middle. And then at the other end, you've got a smaller cabin that also works. So when you get to the end of the road, rather than having to reverse, you get out of it, you jump around, you get in the other end of the truck and you drive it out.
That'd be really handy for people, companies delivering up dead end streets and that, because that's all, you know, particularly in, you know, you get out off the main road, very often these big trucks, you can't turn around. So you just hop in the other end and drive off.
You do. I'm going to put the footage up on my Facebook. It's really very cool. And so the actual the truck was a Japanese truck, the regular truck, and the bit in the middle, which, you know, you put all of the gravel or whatever it is you've got, because these were for sealing roads. So you had all of the load in the middle. That middle part was made in Hallam, in, you know, near Dandenong. You've got the Japanese truck, you've got the middle part where the load is, and then at the other end, which is what's made in Wurrialik, is the second cabin. So, you know, and it reverses, it's, you know, push button. It's all of the, you know, push button to put the brake on, push button to start, all these really cool things. And it was fabulous. So they had 2 or 3 days that it was being tested and tested around the Wurrialik footy ground. Looking at it.
That'd be terrific to see it.
Listen, I will definitely, after this, I'll make sure it gets up on my Facebook page today, because there's footage, we've got footage of it driving.
Oh, I'd love to see that. Cindy, let's talk about one of your, you are the opposition spokesman on schools. Now, the schools went back yesterday. Tell us a bit about how that went, and also probably there's a lot of lessons to be learned from it. Could you update us on that, please?
Sure. So on Monday was a pupil-free day, and yesterday on Tuesday we had some kids go back to school, not everybody, a long way from everybody. We had the prep, grade one, grade two, and then the other end, you had the VCE and VCAL students, so the year 11 and 12s, and year 10s if you do a year 11 subject. So we had either ends returning, and they were having a whole lot of procedures and practices in places at each school about where kids are being dropped off and whether parents are allowed to come in, or generally no, they're not allowed to come in. There was social distancing amongst the staff. But I think the kids and the staff were pretty excited to be back. I'm sure there were many parents who were triply excited for their kids to be back. And they have a new appreciation of what it must be like, you know, as a teacher in front of the classroom. And I think, go on.
Sorry, I was just going to say, look, we should say thank you to the teachers, because I don't have anything like you do involved with the education, but I do a little bit. And some of these teachers have done terrific, because not only have they had to have the look after the students that they normally look after, but a lot of these have had their own children at home as well. So they've been trying to do two things: make sure that the general schools were or their pupils were being looked up, but they also had to try and homeschool some of their own children as well. I think the teachers have done a fantastic job.
Absolutely, absolutely. Because, you know, let's face it, I think if you had have said to teachers, someday you'll be delivering, you know, your lessons out of your lounge room or your dining room, and they would have said, no, that won't be happening. But, you know, it had to happen, and they had to adapt to it, and they had to be very flexible. And, you know, they did that. And some people were doing some amazing things. I heard some fun stories out of Millwarra. I heard some fun stories out of the Zumba at Yarra Glen, the principal who said he can't dance. Families were telling really lovely stories about a special effort and the special things that their teachers did. And I guess probably more so at that younger level, where you've really got to work hard to, you know, keep the kids stimulated and engaged. You know, kids are, when they're older, a little bit more self-sufficient, self-reliable. You know, you can sit them down, they can do some work for half an hour, a lot easier than some of the little kids.
And the other thing too, the teachers didn't get a lot of notice either. I mean, it was fairly quick from the time they knew that they had to work from home till when they actually had to work from home too.
Well, they had a couple of days before the end of last term, and then they had the school holidays. And for a lot of schools and a lot of teachers, that was very, very busy. It wasn't, you know, sitting at home enjoying your term break. They were getting ready for a different way of having to teach and having to, you know, deal with a whole lot of issues. And not everyone has IT. A whole lot of kids and families weren't connected to the internet. Others didn't have devices. They didn't have a laptop. They didn't have an iPad. So, you know, this was very stressful for families and for you know, the schools. And they've had to really adapt and did a pretty good job in doing so. And having said that, you know, we had a lot of people working from home, not just teachers working from home, a lot of families trying to work from home and keep their job and also do that homeschooling. So for some families, this was exceptionally stressful.
Cindy, it's probably much too early to ask you yet, but I'll still ask the question. Do you think there's any lessons to be learnt? Like, do you think that long-term there'll be more schooling done remotely? Or do you think within, you know, by next year it'll all just go back the way it was?
And I think that it is absolutely proven, and people have really subscribed to the fact that the best place for children to learn is at school. Yeah, there's many kids who do homeschooling, but in the main, the best place for kids to do their learning is at school. And you get a whole lot of other social factors that are really important that, you know, whilst we, you know, it's so important that kids learn to read and to write and to add up, they've also got to learn how to deal with other people and to deal with older people, you know, whether that's older kids in the school ground, younger kids, or adults through the teaching staff, the support staff, you know. They're important lessons that get learnt
you know, through the schooling process. So whilst that we've certainly know that we've got that backup, I guess, no one is arguing that schools aren't the best place for kids to learn.
I'd agree with that. And the other thing too, that one of the lessons that I know I learned at school and then learned it again when I got into the workforce is that not everybody has the same idea as you do, or the same sort of, I was going to say mentality, but that's not true, but the same views of yours, and they're just as determined that their views are right too, and we have to work with those people.
Absolutely. And in Australia, we're exceptionally lucky that we can have very different views about different things. We can speak up about them without fear or favour. And, you know, it's getting to learn with people who do things differently to you. And I think one of the early lessons I learned as a leader was, you know, there's more than one road to Rome. And just because yep. I might take this route and do it like this, somebody else might choose to do it differently and get to the same point in the same amount of time. And that's fine. And, you know, we have to learn that people are different. We've got to adapt to different people, the way that they do things. They're all, you know, we're all different. So, and these are important lessons that you get to learn at school. And you're not even realizing that you're learning these lessons sometimes.
No, that, I was just going to say that that's part of it. Like, and some of the best lessons you learn are the ones that you don't realize you're learning when you're learning them.
Yeah, exactly.
I guess the other thing too, Cindy, we should make mention too while we've got you on air, is that during these times that if any of the people in your area want to have or aren't too sure about restrictions or what they should be doing, then I guess they contact your office and increase your workload as well.
You know, that's one of the things that we're here for. I just also wanted to mention, look, so the other kids go back to school, the rest of them go back to school after the long weekend. Our specialist schools are open now as well. The majority of schools are going back after the long weekend. A lot of kinder program, kinders have bush kinder. The kids go out and get their hands and feet really grubby and dirty, and, you know, they're allowed to be operating at the minute, which is good, but they're advising kinders actually don't do any other excursions. And for the rest of the term, you know, school camps and excursions, they're not going to be altered until travel restrictions start to lift as well. And I know there's a lot of outdoor education providers in and around the Yarra Valley, which also impact on local economies that are just really itching to get back. They've had to use a job keeper to have staff continue to be involved, and a lot of people have also lost their jobs in those areas. So, you know, we've got still a way to go. Even though schools are back, a lot of the activities aren't going to be back until the restrictions lift properly.
Cindy, do you think in the third term there'll be any, I don't think there'll be school camps or excursions to you, or
I would like to think there are.
Do you?
A lot of the school camps that a lot of them. If you go up to one in Gippsland, for example, in the high country, you know, you're completely isolated. The risk of transmission there is minimal. Why wouldn't you let that reopen? Yeah. That's my view.
Yeah. Oh, well, it'll be interesting. Cindy, I must just mention again your Facebook page, because we must get people to come along and have a look at this truck. You've really got me intrigued on that truck. As soon as I get off here, I'm going to go and have a look. I hope it's up by now, and we'll have a look.
By now.
Cindy, look, we're unfortunately fast coming to an end. Look, it's been terrific to have along you again. We'll be back on the fourth Wednesday in June. Gee, it's hard to say June, isn't it?
It is. There's a photo of the truck in the local newspapers this week, but it's only one end of the truck, so it doesn't look any different from, you know, you don't get to see the full picture of a truck with two driver ends.
But the one on your Facebook will, though, won't it?
It'll have some footage. It's been driven.
Cindy, look, thanks for your time again. We do appreciate it, and we'll look forward to seeing you on the fourth Wednesday in June, and the year will be half gone.
Oh, that's scary, isn't it?
And I think probably the way the year's going, a lot of us will be glad to see the end of 2020.
Yes, perhaps. Okay. Nice to talk. Thanks, Alan.
Bye. See you later. Bye.